You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 55, and I'm your host, Anne Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, our guest today says, have a vision that is bigger than your business plan. So let me ask you a question. Do you have a vision, and is it bigger than your vision plan? Now, joining me on today's show is Helen Druitt, and she is from Baggy Cart. Helen is a mum of three young boys with a husband in full-time ministry. She started her business nearly 3 years ago after having great difficulty going shopping, and then she decided to sort out a way to solve it. Now, Baggy Cart is a patented innovation with a National Innovation Award and over 250 customers since launching in late 2015. Now, on today's show, Helen is going to share Be at Peace with God's Good Timing. She's also going to talk about don't follow the winds of whatever is out there if it goes against your conscience and against God's teaching. Be honest, be faithful. She's also going to talk about to be careful not to let greed become your God. So welcome to the show, Helen.
Thank you for having me.
Isn't it always the way that you hear about business ideas that have come from someone having experienced a lack in the market of something, or they had a need, there was nothing there, and they've gone, you know what, since there's nothing available and I have a need for it, I think I'm going to create it, and it turns out to be an awesome business idea, which happened to you too. Tell me, before that, had you ever thought you would become an entrepreneur, or was it at that moment that you thought, I'm going to start a business out of this?
No, it was totally, I mean, I've been throwing around a few ideas every now and then. Occasionally, you know, you kind of not take yourself too seriously when you think, oh, that would be a good business idea.
Yes.
But I've had parents, both my parents were in business and my sister's in business, so I've got quite an entrepreneurial family.
Mm-hmm.
And I avoided all that and went into a totally different field. started nursing and things like that. But it wasn't long before I realised that I was more on the creative side.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like businesses and setting up business and the processes of, just marketing and selling your product. I think that was something I never envisioned myself actually doing. But
amazing.
Long before it actually happened.
Yeah. One of the things that I'd love for you, just to give an overview, because someone might be listening today or watching today or even the recording and have an idea similar to what you were in the same position. In other words, that there is a need. There is a product that they would really love and could benefit from, and they realize that there's a market, but there's nothing in the market to offer that particular product. So what was the starting point? Do you need to go out and search for inventors, people who will design it? What was the process that you followed?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I had my light bulb moment, it did take a little while to just really research, and even overseas I've researched. So I was happy to, because I quite frankly, I needed to be a customer of this invention, but it already happened.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't prepared to yet do the business myself. So what I did, I looked online and there was a few products, similar products that had come and gone, but nothing like I had in my mind. And so I got to work, and I'm a bit of a maker myself, like I make everything.
Great.
And having my dad in steel manufacturing and design, it wasn't too hard to make a couple of prototypes, play around with a few odd bits of prams and disassembling things and putting things together. And when I was happy with what our working prototype, that's when I decided that my husband was the one actually that encouraged me, well, you need to patent it. And that costs a lot of money. And I guess we really prayed about, well, if we go ahead, this is the kind of official step we need to take. And we need to realize how much we got in the bank in order to patent a product. And then once it's patented, what do we do then? Do we, so I had to budget all that, those things up. I had the cost of patenting something as well as getting a prototype made overseas. And I got a few quotes just from manufacturers if they were happy to work with my prototype. And that was basically the budget of those two things put together. And I was able to at least launch something. And get the website. And I did a lot of, I mean, you do a lot of work all by yourself. You just don't have a big budget to be able to, you know, get lots of employees to design and do everything for you at this stage. So it's really having a lot of time to be able to really put into your business yourself and learn the hard
sometimes. And then as you start to get sales and so forth, then you can reinvest back into the business as you continue to scale it. But I have to say, just, you know, hearing you share that story, I mean, I've always been in service-based business. So it's the things in here, but when you speak to someone such as yourself with a product, and there is, as you know, a large upfront costs. So there's always that risk. But, you know, as Christians, we know that we can pray about that and we can be led in the right direction and have people that come across our paths that we would never be able to find on our own. So there's certainly that aspect of it as well. The fact that, too, you had your father who was able to help you with the prototype. So obviously if someone's looking at a product-based business, you have to have the right people who can help you design it. You obviously need to have a legal team and then go out and find businesses. The great thing about, or manufacturing businesses, the great thing about that, of course, is that with technology now, we've got the ability to do research, don't we? To connect with people, have the conversations before people might have had to go flying around the world to set up these appointments and things. So this is certainly fantastic. What would you say is the greatest insight that you've learned over the, looking back? Would there be something that you would do differently knowing now what you know?
Yes. So I think the first thing I would have done is, I mean, a great idea is a great idea. It could be the best idea in the world, but unless you have the funds to be able to at least let people know about those things, and that's when marketing comes into play. It really is just an idea that's sitting in the back of your garage or whatever it is, because it's not going to do anything there.
Yes.
So you really do need to figure out your marketing plan and having a really solid a marketing plan in terms of your business and how you're going to get this to the customers that would really use your product.
And
like you said before, it's a lot easier in this digital world that we're living in. I would say, most of my success, I would say probably actually 100% or 95% of my customers for being through online marketing.
Yes. And mums, there was an article, and I often refer to this because for businesses, when I'm talking about branding and messaging and getting on the, you know, getting online, because some businesses, believe it or not, even today, still think, well, we're just going to sit back and wait. Is it a fad? And it's like, if you wait too much longer, and this article on CEO Institute said, in the next 3 years, and I think we're about halfway there, if businesses don't get online, it's going to be far too big a gap for them ever to catch up. But there's two demographics that they are calling the entrepreneurial customer, and that's millennials and mothers. And when you tap into the right message and the right product or service, and it's inspiring, they will be promoters and ambassadors of your product. And that's maybe what you found too, because mums talk to mums and share, and if you've got the right social strategy, that can almost become something that they continue to share for you. Just before we move on, talking about be at peace with God's timing, good timing, and I don't know if other people, I know I struggle with this as someone who has a goal and it's like tomorrow would be fabulous, but Kickstarter has been something that I've been seeing works really well. Just if someone's thinking about this, there was a product that had to do with lighting, this is a digital for the camera, and what they've done is three different stages. The first stage, so people could contribute to the fund for the development, but when the product is launched, they get it at a like an investment price. And as the product continues, so that's a great way of finding some funding too, but people are actually invested in it and will continue to share. Yeah. Is that something that you may have considered in the future, or maybe something that you've done?
I have actually done a Kickstarter campaign back in the day, in the very early days. And I didn't have much marketing experience, and I didn't really have a good platform, and I really need to, like I said, going back to the marketing, you need to have a good quality video, and you need to invest a lot of time in making your product really stand out from the rest, because there's hundreds and hundreds of Kickstarter campaigns, and we really only see the successful ones that are ones that are on the website.
Yes.
And those ones are usually have reached, potentially millions of people. But if yours is in the back pile because it's just not very standouty,
it's hard to get visibility of it.
And I basically got told, look, I launched the Kickstarter campaign, and I got a few media type interested in my campaign, particularly with babies and children kind of websites and media campaigns, and they were able to push it. And I got a lot of attention just through that. But a lot of people, particularly mothers, they don't really get the concept.
Right.
So that was quite hard, because a lot of people kind of said, oh, I'll buy one when it comes out on the market. And so,
that defeats the purpose of the whole Kickstarter. Yeah. And Kickstarter now, a lot of those funding campaigns, because there's more people that are now talking about it, we know. And it's like with anything, when you're doing something quite new to the market, no one really knows what it's about. It's hard to get that buy-in. But, it's great that you shared that story, because I think, the success that you've now had, I mean, in the introduction I've said you've won an innovation award, a national innovation award. You've got over 250 happy customers. Now, had that experience with Kickstarter thwarted your achievement or continual achievement of just getting out there and doing what you needed to do, you may have just thought, well, you know what, it's just not going to work. So it really, goes to show. So let's talk about being at peace with God's good timing, because obviously he's seen you through and there's things that have really supported you. What would you say to someone that today maybe is experiencing something that you might have been experiencing back at that Kickstarter event? What insights can you share?
I think don't try to read too much into every kind of failure that you might have or setback. There were so many positive reasons why this business gave me a good reason to start.
Yeah.
And Kickstarter, and breaking it down to why it didn't work was really helpful. And I had to not take it personally. A lot of people said, oh, yeah, I'll back you. And a lot of friends and family. And when you get friends and family involved, it always is a little bit more emotional when they don't stay true to your word. And so you just had to, again, keep praying, keep asking God for direction. And you know what? One thing led to another, and I did manage to save up enough to get my first batch ordered. And shipped over, even though I was really scrounging around at the last few bits. But I did the bare minimum in terms of what I needed to get done to set up shop. And that's really the crucial part, is do you have enough to be able to at least start something?
Yes.
At the end of the day, if you do fail, if this business is a failure, you're not a failure in God's eyes. And there's always just lessons that are learnt. And sometimes, maybe God, and my husband said this to me, maybe God does want you to fail in this business, but because it's all about you in the end, and how you don't know everything. God's not a fortune teller. He's not going to tell you exactly what you can be successful or not successful at. And we have so much freedom to be able to do and explore that.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that I'm hearing again and again through people sharing their insights around challenges and around failures, and I finally remembered in a previous episode, I couldn't remember the name of the room that photographers used to develop their you know, their photographs in the old days, the old technology. It was called a dark room. You know, I was looking for this technical term. But Christine Kane, and someone shared this analogy that she shared, that sometimes God has us waiting in the dark room, and that is because he's developing in us the strength that we need for the next season. So I'm sure that when you look back, there are strengths that you've now developed that have enabled you to continue to build the momentum that you would never have learned had you suddenly pressed the button and all of a sudden orders and the Kickstarter and all of that had have come through to fruition. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think, you know, just because it didn't succeed in one platform, in a small platform, really,
yes,
in the scope of your development and the product and the business and how it's going, it doesn't mean it's going to take off later on.
Yeah.
And it, sure enough, it was the Innovation Award that really did spark huge influx of orders. And I felt way over my head about everything. So sometimes success does come really unexpected.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh, now I don't know what to do. And almost, you know, had a mental breakdown during those first few weeks, just trying to get my head around what is it that I need to do and do I really want this? And, you know, all this kind of stuff plays around with your head.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's, you know, that's life, and that's what.
And you know what? I think that is that from what I'm hearing and what I've experienced at every stage in progression and the next level of your business, it's the same thing. And it's like, all right, I recognize this, but now we've got different strengths, better strengths, and of course, leaning in. Something else that I've learned over the years too, sometimes when things go too easy, we then can forget that we're actually not in control, and we should not have control, full control of that. We need to realize that we're partnering, and you know, when we continue to really lean into him, ask for his support, that and realize that he really is in charge, then that is when things really can go supernatural level. And be careful what we pray for, because yes. Let's talk about not following the winds of whatever is out there. If it goes against your conscience and against God's teaching, be honest, be faithful. This can be really difficult, particularly in a world that for some people, they just don't know how awesome, you know, the awesome God and our love for Jesus and how awesome he is. Share a bit more about this. I think this can be really helpful for people.
Yeah, I think as a Christian, you know, there is, I mean, you do want to, and as a business as well, you do want to win customers and you do want to win people hearts and minds and engage in them. And you know that, you know, Christianity is definitely not everybody's cup of tea, and that's really hard to, you know, we can come across as so judgmental and non-accepting and all this kind of stuff. But I have to keep my, I'm kind of glad that it is just a product, and I'm not trying to push any political views or anything like that. And that's what I wanted to keep. I wanted to keep it just really neutral. I've seen other businesses saying things that, yeah, it doesn't quite sit well with me, and it turns me off wanting to read into it and wanting to know more. And that's. So even though you do want to do what everyone else is doing, stick to what you know, that God's bigger than that, and you're not trying to please people at the end of the day more than you're trying to please God. And if you know that something's not what God's happy about, then don't do it. It's not worth the risk, and it's not worth you know, trying to be a people pleaser over it. I think it's quite shallow to just try and get people, because, you know, you get more clicks and all that kind of stuff. It's just.
And I think at the end of the day, you know, we are encouraged, well, commanded to, well, ambassadors of Jesus, and, you know, Jesus was compassionate. And, you know, there's so many stories in the Bible, even the story where, you know, the Pharisees brought the woman who was an adulterer, and they wanted to stone her. And he said, well, the first person to throw the stone is he who has not sinned. And, you know, everyone ended up leaving, because we all know that we all fall short in his eyes. And we need to, I think, as Christians, realize that every interaction, every conversation, and we can communicate with people, even if we do have different beliefs and values, we can still show compassion and empathy. And I think that can be the difference in people. You know, even in the most challenging situations, if we really, you know, go with a Christ-like approach, that can be the difference between someone going, you know what, there's something different about you. What is it? Which gives us an incredible opportunity then to share some of that, you know, truth.
And your passion, your passions do come through. Like if you're passionate about loving people, that's going to show.
Oh, absolutely.
More than anything else. And if you're passionate about, I don't know, other things, when people are not being kind to you, and they won't be, a lot of people are not kind to you, that's going to show through. And then you're, you know, it's just, who you're really serving here, really, it does show through. It's when those difficult times in businesses, when you get customers that are really not happy with you or whatever, or just people that don't like you and just want to hang around. But if you can be, I think it's a very testing time sometimes, just keeping it cool and, you know, having a Christ-like mind, just loving everyone. And
I can't remember, it just fits in beautifully. A story I heard was where someone, and I don't know whether he was a Christian business owner, but someone was really giving him a hard time, a really hard time. And he continued just to show compassion and empathy to the point that that person actually came up to him later and said, you know, I was testing you because I know all you Christians talk about turning the other cheek. And he said, so many don't, but you didn't crack. So now I'm ready. Tell me about this Jesus person that you continue to talk about, because the way that I, you know, pushed your buttons, anyone else would have cracked. And you just don't know, absolutely. Do we? And that could just be that that moment that someone says, you know what, I want to know more, which I think is just fantastic. So let's talk about to be careful not to let greed become your God. This is such a passionate topic. You know, you have all different spectrums from one end to the other and all in between. Talk a little bit more what this means for you.
I think with the entrepreneurial mindset, a lot of the time it is quite worldly in terms of, you know, when you're thinking about what's their big goal and you're reading these books and you think, and each time a lot of them, the ones that I've read anyway, talk about, oh, but you can finally own that boat or you can finally go overseas and buy a house overseas. You know, all these kind of things that we know as Christians are not, and they're not bad things in themselves, but we know that's not our ultimate goal in life, is to own a boat or a house or anything like that. So, but it is really hard because we have, as a family, as a young family, I've got three young boys and husband in the street. We don't own a lot of money. And so that's really hard not to get pulled down by those kind of desires that everyone else has. And when everyone else is just kind of cruising through life and you just think, oh, it would be really nice if the business goes really well and then we could do X, Y, and Z and everything. And sure enough, you're thinking more about, before long, you are thinking more about money than anything else. And it's not long before other things get pushed aside. You have to be realistic and think, look, my work is not my God. Money is not my God. If my children need me to be, you know, take them to therapy or whatever like that, or after school activities, I need to have those things first. I'm not going to be one of those. A lot of entrepreneurs say, oh, you know, it's a good example. I heard someone say it's a good example to your kids if you put your business first, because then you're teaching them really good life lessons on work ethic or something like that. And I just didn't agree. I just thought, no, because the kids are still young. My kids are anyway. And if you put your work in front of them, they're basically saying they're not as valuable as your work. And you don't want to give that message to your kids. And you know what, I have to be at peace with the fact that I've got three young boys and work at home can be very difficult, but it also can be really, I can actually invest a lot of time in my work as well. So I'm that blessing at the moment that I don't have an overburdened home life that I'm just constantly go.
And it's all,
where I know a lot of moms do. There's no way I would have started.
No, I mean, I can recall when my youngest is now 22 and it was very much a part-time business, but there were often times where I'd come home and they'd have to fend for themselves and I'd have to work in the office. Mind you, by the time I came out, there was such catastrophe out there. Soy sauce, I remember, and eggs all over the kitchen one time. It was like they tried to, you know, make some snacks for themselves, and plus mum wasn't there. So they thought, we're going to start to cook up some mess. But I think it just goes to show there's different seasons, aren't there? And when you've got young children, give yourself the grace to be able to balance both. Don't feel, you know, that whole guilt and shame, I should be doing that, I should be doing. That's actually a trigger for me. It's kind of like, okay, step back. What can I do? What is it? What, you know, what's important? Because yes, you can teach your life, your children some great skills, but also about spending quality time. You know, all of that is important. I think it really reminds us. Sorry?
Yeah. Relationships take time. But
yes.
That's the thing, right?
And they grow older. Soon, before you know it, your little ones will be asking, can I borrow the car, or, you know, all of that. Or they'll have their own car. And then and thankfully, though, my children, and my son leaves and he comes back and my husband says, aren't they ever going to leave home? And it's like, I don't mind having my children around me. I have to say it's they're older. You can actually have good conversations with them. You can have when they're younger too, but they're different, aren't they, than when they're older. And I think with the money, I think it really, and it goes to show, and it says in the Bible, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. And I know a lot of Christian business owners who are so passionate about Jesus, and their children are now older, and they build those solid foundations, and they have been blessed, you know, but they're always first and foremost focusing on God. You know, it says seek first the kingdom of God and in righteousness, of course, and we will be blessed. So, and that's just a reminder, isn't it? What are we focusing on? Are we focusing on building a kingdom business? And are we giving back to causes and other aspects that can really continue to be a blessing on the world? That's kind of how I like to look at it, because then it just multiplies. For sure. So tell us more about your product, and then how can mothers and even other people who might want to buy a gift for their, you know, young family, if they've got children who are expanding their families, how can they get in contact with you?
Okay, well, my website is buggycart.com.au, so buggycart.com.au, and we're the only pram attachment that converts your pram into a shopping trolley.
Yes.
So you can fit up to a week, a lot of shopping into a bag that has its own set of wheels, so it's unlikely to cause your pram to tip over.
Yes, and I have had that.
It just gives a lot more freedom to mums with prams that, you know, don't have you don't have to rely on the car to take you everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it because I was just able to get out of the house and enjoy spending quality time with my kids and do a little shopping on the side and still have all that space in my pram to be able to do that.
Yes. I mean,
so
even if
that's what I've created.
Oh, even if I recall, and that was quite some time ago, but then you have to take your little ones and then you can only fit so much in. And then if you want to take them out and put them in the trolley, that is, you know, the trolley that you get from the supermarket.
Yeah.
It's just too hard. So your pram, as you said, it converts into where you can take and put a week's worth of groceries in there and just kind of wheel them back out again, shopping and all.
Yeah. That's right.
Fantastic.
It's all in there. It fits up to, I think, 60. We've worked out at 66 litres or 15 kilos worth of shopping. So
yes,
it's a pretty decent size. I mean, I've put everything in those things. I've you know, they're quite tough materials I use because I knew that, you know, people want to put their scooters and stuff in there and all sorts of things because kids just want to take everything when you go out, and you need to have just a little bit more room than, you know, what those tiny little baskets in front of you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you think, when you take your kids away with you, you almost need to take the kitchen sink, don't you, with all of the nappy bags and this and that, just to go pop to the shops. It's like, I really can't be bothered.
No.
You know, it's almost a trip.
And, you know, online shopping's not as great as I keep hearing it. You know, you have to hang around in the house to wait for the order to come through, and it all adds up, all that cost of shopping, getting things on board online and everything, and then, you know, it's not always the best customer service. So
and sometimes it is nice to go out and associate and interact with other human beings that are a little bit older than the children.
Absolutely. It's a good excuse to get out of the house. You need to do the shopping as well as, you know, ask 50 other things that you need to do, like play groups and taking to the park and all that, and you can do all that kind of stuff. There's you know, you don't have to cut in on your own time and then at the night time or anything.
Fantastic. And that's great. I mean, we'll put all of the links on how to connect with you and how to find out more about your product. Yep. Congratulations. I mean, that's just amazing. I think, as I said, for me, it's just so impressive because I've always run service-based businesses with a product that you have to, you know, develop plans and all of that kind of stuff. It's a whole different type of business. So congratulations also on the award. Now, one of the things, now for people who want to go to the show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE5555. Now, one of the things that I'm doing for all of the guests, Helen, is just saying a word of prayer. May I do that for you too before we finish up the show?
Yeah,
fantastic. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak with Helen to find out more about her business and how she was able to grow the business to now servicing over 250 very happy customers. Father, you know, we're reminded through what she shared that we really, it's important to lean into you. When we're building kingdom businesses, we really need to put you first and foremost. And when we step back and allow you to put your super over our natural, as we've said so many times on the show and say again, that with your support, with your grace, with your help, we really can build supernatural businesses with results that impact the world and can continue to contribute to your kingdom. Father, I just want to uphold Helen, her children, her family, and her husband in prayer. Will you continue to bless her business, bless the customers that she works with too, that they will continue to really enjoy the products as they're expanding their families. And as we know, you know, young children are the future. So we really just want to uphold them in our prayers too. Father, we really just want to say a prayer for those people who are listening and who are watching today and also the recording. Will you continue to bless them and their businesses as well as they continue to create kingdom focused businesses. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much. It's been an honor speaking with you today. Lots of great insights, and look forward to sharing this message with many other mums as well who are looking for that. You know, I want to have something that will allow me to put a bit more shopping in than just, you know, one box of cereal or something like that. So we'll certainly direct them over your way.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com, changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.